John, the 12th chapter in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1132. And beginning with the 20th verse, we will read through verse 25. These six verses, we'll read them responsively. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 25. The text verse is the 24th verse. And please may we stand for the reading of God's Word. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And now, Father, we pray for thy help today. Thank you for that presence with us that we know, that we feel, that we believe. And now we pray for thy help and blessing and power upon the message, upon the preacher, and help us to listen with care and to act upon that which we hear in a diligent, purposeful way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
If that's all that happened this morning, it's worth coming to church for. Last stanza, of course, most of you know, written by an inmate at an insane asylum on the wall of the asylum and found there and preserved for our edification. I want to speak this morning on the subject, why do I have to go through this? Or why did this happen to me? The text says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. I trust that you'll gather your attention now from wherever it may be. There are 10,000 things that could divert our attention. But you see, instead of sitting here thinking about our problems, we need to face the strength and get the strength to help us in our problems. And I promise you this morning that I will share with you one of the sweetest and yet one of the most difficult truths in all the Bible. Why did this happen to me? Or why do I have to go through this? There are hundreds of people in this room this morning who've asked yourself that question time and time again. Why of all the people in my little circle of friendship am I the one to have the cancer? Why of all the pupils in my boy's school is he the one that has to have the incurable illness? Why do I have to go through this? Father, bless our message this morning to our hearing. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit hath to say to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me very carefully. I'm going to use a little bit of our Wednesday night Bible studies to launch the message. In fact, the message will be built around our studies just somewhat. Why do I have to go through this? Why did this happen to me? I was walking down the alley this morning and between Sunday school and preaching. And I was saying hi to folks as I met them. And then I noticed one of my favorite young men, just in that age of life between boyhood and adolescence, just entering adolescence. And I spoke to him and I think patted him on the shoulder. And I got to thinking how many times that young man's been in the hospital and the disease that's in his body. When I go out on Sunday, oftentimes there's one of our fine men out here with his little boy. The little boy is just a little shaver, a couple of years old, I guess. as the disease that caused him not to be able to hold his head erect. I always like to stop and always like to kiss him on the cheek or tousle his hair, say a word to him. And I'm sure that family has asked the question many times, why us? Why do we have to go through this? Why did this happen to us? If you listen carefully, I'll tell you why. I'm going to make several statements this morning, each built on the one before it. Statement number one, when God comes in to dwell, He comes to dwell in the inner man. Now follow me. This is Wednesday night study type. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes in us, as we've learned on Wednesday night, He first revives our spirit, and we're born again when the Spirit comes back to life. Now, when the Holy Spirit regenerates us and resurrects our spirit so that now we are not just body and soul as we were before salvation, but now we are body, soul, and spirit. Once the Holy Spirit creates or recreates this spirit in us, then He comes in to live in that spirit. So when God comes in to dwell, He comes to dwell in the inner man. I'm going to put it this way. Here's a big circle right here. And that circle represents the body. There's a smaller circle inside. And that smaller circle represents the soul. For the soul lives in the body. The body is the big circle. The soul is the smaller circle inside the big circle. And inside that is the spirit, the little circle. So a little circle is the spirit. A bigger circle is the soul. And a bigger circle is the body. Now, it is this inner circle that God wants to use. Now, follow me carefully. It is this inner circle, or inner man, that God wants to use. You see, the flesh cannot please God, and the soul cannot please God, and the flesh and the soul cannot communicate with God. It is only the Spirit. Now, down inside the body and the soul of man, there is a Spirit. Everything that is good about you is in that Spirit. There's nothing good in your flesh. There's nothing good in your body. But everything that is good about you is in that spirit. Now, this inner man is the one that God wants to use. But statement number four is this. That which is in the inner man must escape the shell of the body and the soul in order to be used. Dr. Rice used to tell the story, and I've told it often years gone by here, about the fellow preacher who was preaching a funeral service, and here was the widow, and here were the children here. And the preacher was trying to comfort, and here was the father and husband down here, his body. And the preacher said, "This is not your husband. This is not your dad. This is the shell. The nut has gone." And the truth is, that's scriptural. The nut had gone because the inside had gone, and the shell was left. Now, this inside, this inner man, is that which God wants to use. But God cannot use the inner man until that which is in him escapes the body and the soul. Are you listening? Now, it's a shell, so it must be broken. Did you hear me? I said the body and the soul must be broken. Unless the body and the soul are broken, then the inner man cannot escape and God cannot use it. Let me illustrate what I mean. Exactly. I have here a hammer and a nut. And what I have here, a hammer and a nut. Now, what's inside here would be good to eat. But if the shell must be broken. The shell, unless the shell is broken, there's no way that that which is treasured on the inside can be enjoyed. Now you wonder why
that things, you say, oh, my heart is broken. I know God has to break the shell before that which is inside of you that is so helpful can escape. The shell must be broken. And so if we're going, now, we're going to get what's on the inside, we have to hit it, and as we break the shell, then the meat of the nut is available to us, and we can enjoy it. But until the shell is broken, you see, our spirit and our inner man and our outer man are not in accord with each other. The inner man wants to help. The outer man does not want to help. The inner man wants to give. The outer man does not want to give. But the outer man keeps the inner man from giving. It is my body which puts the offering in the collection plate, not my spirit. If generosity is in here, then the shell must be broken before that which is on the inside can come forth. And so you wonder why God allows pain and burden to come your way. It is because the only way that God can ever let that which is in you be used of Him is for that shell that covers the inner man to be broken. And that's why the little boy has to go to the hospital. And that's why the cancer came to you. And that's why the heartache came to you. And that's why there are broken hearts in this room. And that's why there are hurting souls in this room. Because God wants to use you. But God cannot use you till the shell is broken. And your body and soul are encompassing the Spirit. And that which is useful is in the Spirit. And until your body and soul are broken, there's no way that that which God wants to use can escape and make it usable. That's what it means in our text, John 12:24. Except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. Actually, what this means is the cracking open of the shell. Here is a corn of wheat. Now, in order for that corn of wheat to do any good or to bring forth a harvest, it must be broken. So what happens? It falls in the ground. And the darkness and the humidity of the ground causes the cracking of that shell. And once the shell is cracked, then comes the kernel, and then can come life and can come blessing. I'll guarantee you this morning, the people in this room today who are the most used of God are those who have been broken the most. And the people in this room this morning who are the least used of God are those who have been broken the least. Once in a while, I look back and I see Mrs. Scales. She is the one lady in this church, the one person I don't mind walking out during the service, because she has an illness that requires her to walk out. She can just take it so long because she has an illness. And so she comes and she, a lot of you folks can just take it so long too before you have to get up and walk out. But she can just take it so long. And then because of the illness, she has to get up and leave. And every time she walks out, I look at her and say, thank God for Mrs. Scales. And my heart is blessed to see her. Most of us, if we suffered like she suffered, we would not even be in church this morning. I don't brag on this fellow a great deal. I cut up with him a lot, but I love him as much as I cut up with him. I watch Larry Stromberg walk by the casket so often. Larry Stromberg almost comes to almost all the funerals here. You hardly ever have a funeral here that Larry Stromberg isn't here. Many times, he's a pallbearer when he is. We have to get another man to help him carry his end of the load. But I watch Larry come by. And almost always when Larry comes by, he'll glance at me a little bit, and there's a smile. And he cuts up with me, and he'll come up behind me, and he'll surprise me a little bit and hit me in the back and say, "Watch it there, fella!" And we cut up a great deal. And Larry's a great blessing to me. I don't say that often, but he's a great blessing to me. You know why it's a great blessing to me? Because one day his daughter was driving with some young people from school on a rainy day out here on Highway 41. And all of a sudden, control was lost of the car of somebody, and it crossed the median line and hit their car. And the little Sharon Stromberg, a lovely teenage young lady, was placed in the hospital near death. Sharon stayed in a coma for many, many, many long days and weeks, stayed in a coma. And finally, she got okay. At least she came conscious and came back to church. And though she had problems of many, many physical problems, she nevertheless was able to manipulate in society and be active again. And then one Christmas season, I got a word on a Saturday afternoon, rushed to the Stromberg house. Sharon had been alone,
and the house had caught on fire. I think she was in the bathroom. The house had caught on fire, and Sharon had burned to death. And I remember walking in that bathroom that day, looking in there and seeing Sharon's charred body laying there on the floor, leaning up against the wall. And we called Mrs. Stromberg, and she was shopping, as all ladies are on Saturday afternoon. She was shopping, and she came back, and I went down the road, and we got in touch with her. I intercepted her. She came and stopped her there about two blocks from the house, and I said, Mrs. Stromberg, it's Sharon. And she said, what is it? And I told her, there's been a fire, and Sharon's been burned to death. And I'm saying, God broke the shell. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Larry and Mrs. Stromberg were lovely people before then. Ah, but they're lovelier now. There's been something that has escaped them that could not have escaped had the shell not been broken. You say, why did it happen to me?
I'll tell you why it happened to you. There's something inside of you that God wants to use.
But there's something your old flesh says, no, I don't want to serve. I don't want to give. I don't want to be a blessing. I don't want to preach. I don't want to serve God. I want to have my fun.
And God said, okay, I think I know how to get that out. I'll just hit you a little bit. And I'll just break you a little bit. I'll send you to a baby's grave. I'll send you to the hospital and put you on your back for a while. I'll take your job away from you. Or I'll give you a little, let your child have some kind of disease.
You say, God's not being good to me.
Oh, yes, there's something inside you that the world needs and others need. And God's simply cracking it so the meat can get out. And that shell that covers your soul and that soulless shell that covers your spirit says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to give my all to God. I want to have my fun. I don't want to surrender. God said, okay, I know how to get that spirit out. I know how to get it out. And so God in His mercy comes and God cracks that shell, and then because you're broken, oh, and it hurts, oh, when that hammer hits and hits and hits and hits, and the pain comes, and the heart feels like it's not going to be able to stay inside the body, and the burden seems like it's too heavy to bear. Thank God, God's about to use you. Why? He's cracking the shell. God's breaking you. Everything in the Bible that God ever used, He broke it first. Why? Because it must be broken if it's going to be used by God. The question is not then how to obtain life, but how to give life. And you give life when you're broken. Don't rebel at the pain. Don't rebel at the heartache. Don't rebel at the burden. Don't rebel at the tears. That's all a part of it. God wants to use you.
You heard me say this. Dr. John Rice and I were sitting together in Johnson City, Tennessee. And when Dr. Rice got in deep thought, he always put his fingers like that and did like that on the table and sort of looked down like that. And I watched him as he did like that. And I said to myself, a profound thought's going to come out in a minute, so I just listen. And Dr. John looked up and said, God's going to use Dr. Tom Malone in a great way. And I said, Dr. Rice, He already has used Dr. Tom Malone in a great way. He said, but God's going to use Dr. Tom Malone in a greater way. And I said, why? He said, because he's being broken so much lately. He said, he's going through the trials and the burdens. He said, God's getting ready to use him in a way. And that's why God breaks you. God has something He wants you to do. I was down in Texas preaching a few days ago, and a little lady walked up to me, middle-aged lady, and she said, Brother Hiles, you know me? Oh, brother, that's the meanest thing you'll ever do in this world. You remember me? And I don't care how hard you try to convince them, you can't shape your mouth and say yes where they can. You tried. You just tried. You know who I am? Sure, you can't do it. You just can't do it. I've tried to lie every way in the world with my mouth like that, and you can't do it. And so I said, the name escapes me, you know. Oh, what a dirty way. And finally, I said, no, I do not know you. Oh, she said, come on, Brother House, you know me. I said, I do not know you. She said, I'm Nell DeBoard. Nell DeBoard. 30 years ago, I knocked on your door on the corner of Miller Road and Rolando Street and won you to Jesus in the afternoon. And you said, come back and witness to Jake, my husband. And that night you were washing dishes, and Jake got saved in the living room. And when Jake got saved, Super Suds covered the whole house as you came in and hugged Jake. But Nell DeBoard! Oh, yes, Nell. I also remember little David. I remember how little David, when he was 15 months old,
It was Christmas Eve, and the tree was all decorated, and presents for little David under the tree. And I remember how that little David was sick, and you took him to the doctor on the day before Christmas. And as you got out of the car, you walked up to the doctor's office, and little David died in your arms. I said, sure in hell. I hadn't seen her in years. I said, how's Jake? And I said, Nell, do you still do it? She said, what? I said, you know what you did. She said, what? I said, do you still look for people that have lost children in death and look at the newspaper and find all the parents of little children that had died and go see them after 30 years? She said, I still do it. I still do it. I do not know how many people have been blessed with that good lady who goes to just picks up the newspaper and reads about the death of a child and goes and knocks on the door of a stranger and tells them about Jesus and His comfort and the Word of God and prays with them. And all because one day God said, I need somebody for over a quarter of a century in this area to comfort parents who've lost their children. And God got out His hammer and said, I've got to break her first. And God broke her. And through the brokenness of a little boy dying in her arms, the sweet, precious fruit came forth. And the inner man was able to come forth, but it could not. Elder Board wouldn't have waked up one morning and said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go comfort parents who lose little children. No, she couldn't do that. But once she got broken, then all of a sudden the sweet fragrance of the love of Christ and the comfort of Christ came through to her. I'm saying, look, don't rebel because you're broken. You got a broken heart? Don't rebel. You got a broken spirit? Don't rebel. You got a soul that's breaking? Don't rebel. You got a body breaking down? Don't rebel. God is simply getting the shell broken so that which on the inside God can use again. No breaking, no blessing. Remember the story of the alabaster box of ointment? This little lady had to break inside that box. There was some precious ointment. But there's no way to get it out. That ointment is inside that box. And that lady comes up to Jesus and she breaks the alabaster box of ointment. And everybody in this room has down in the spirit an alabaster box of ointment. And you have precious healing balm in your spirit. But it can't come out till you're broken. Now, it's not fun to get broken. It's not fun when God takes and beats and beats. And some of you folks have been beaten till you just flinch and you almost dread to wake up in the morning because God is still breaking. And God is still breaking. And God is still breaking. This afternoon, Mrs. John Rice comes to our area. She'll be at our college for the week. Oh, how she'll bless our young people. You know why she'll bless our young people? Shell's been broken. Shell's been broken. And through the breaking of that shell has come forth a sweet spirit that now is a blessing to everybody that comes in contact with her. That's what happened to Adoniram Judson on the mission field. Adoniram Judson went for 7 years and never won a soul on the mission field. And then a baby was taken. The shell was broken some. Another child was taken. They buried the second child beside the first on the heathen pagan fields. And then the day came when Ann Judson, his wife, was taken. He laid Ann Judson's body beside those two little girls. Adoniram Judson walked away a broken man, and from the broken shell that God had made, there came forth a great missionary movement. And some people say he was the father of the modern mission movement. That's why David Livingston on the mission field, his little body emaciated, and finally his wife died, and he had to bury her in the jungles of Africa, and everything he had was taken. Why? Because God had a continent he wanted to explore for Christ, and David Livingston had it broken. And I'll guarantee you, my precious friend, we would not have known. Listen, practically every book in this Bible was written through a broken heart. It escaped the broken heart and the broken body and the broken soul. You pick up that song book and you opened almost any song you want to open. And I'll guarantee you the blessings of that song did not come when somebody was on the mountaintop, but they came when somebody had been broken. And from the broken shell on the outside, I'm saying, nobody enjoys chastening. Nobody enjoys suffering. Nobody enjoys pain. But if God's ever going to use you, He's got to break you first. It's got to be broken on the outside before that sweet taste and sweet fragrance on the inside can come forth. It's as simple as this. no breaking, no blessing. It's as simple as this, no breaking, no fruit. It's as simple as this, no breaking, no ointment. It's as simple as this, no breaking, no fragrance. Illustration, here's a preacher. And he's a good preacher. But the tears never come. His heart never breaks. He has all the talent. He has the vocabulary. He has the training. He has the personality. He has the forensic ability. But there's something missing. And then one day, as God did to Lee Robertson, he said, Lee, I want little joy. I want there to be a great worldwide ministry. Lee. God reaches down that home and takes little Joy Robertson from the arms of her mother and daddy and breaks the shell of Lee Robertson, and look what's happened. God looks down to it, John Ryerson, and says, John, I'm going to let your mother die while you're 6 years old and let you grow up by yourself to make it without a mother. He comes to Dr. Bill Ryerson and says, Bill, I want you to be a blessing. I want you to help a lot of deaf people. So I'm going to have to beat on you a little while, Bill. I'm going to have to take your hearing away from little Betty, your little baby girl. She'll never hear. Oh, how often I've heard Dr. Bill tell this story. Old Dr. John used to say, everybody wants to live the victorious Christian life, but nobody wants to fight. He said, everybody wants to be in the army of the Lord, but everybody wants to be in the quartermaster corps. Now you mark it down. I sat on chapel last year. I looked out at those preacher boys at Howells Anderson College. And I almost wanted to say, maybe you shouldn't go through with it. Young man, you got many a heartbreak ahead of you. I wish I could tell you that you'd go out yonder to some place and build a great church and everything would be roses. I wish I could tell you they'll all be smooth sailing and you'll build the biggest church in the whole world and there'll be no problems and no burden. I can't tell you that, because God can't use you until God breaks you. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. Here's another, a little lady. She goes to junior high school. She's a cheerleader. And she enjoys the junior high school days. Then she goes to high school. Maybe she's a cheerleader there at high school too. And she's popular. And there are youth activities. And there are Christmas parties and Halloween parties and sweetheart banquets and dating and youth choirs and youth programs and teenage soul winning. And life is just all roses. But then one day she marries. And then soon she's pregnant. And then a baby comes. And then I'm thinking about a little girl in our church now. She's married. I remember what we went through in her teenage years. I remember how I prayed for her and tried to help her. And how her parents and I prayed and tried to help. And she went through came through it all, a beautiful Christian. And then she got married. And then the birth of a child that wasn't normal. The breaking's going to come. I sit and look at our young people sometime at graduate commencement exercises, and I look at them, and there are those bright faces, and finally they're out. And I often say, if you knew what I know, you'd want to go back in. And then all of a sudden, that little flippant girl, carefree, just a few years ago, all of a sudden she walks the floor of the hospital. She wonders how long the baby's going to breathe. It's a part. It's necessary. Unless you can be broken, you can't be a blessing. No breaking, no fruit. No breaking, no blessing. No breaking, no ointment. No breaking, no fragrance. I think of the Houstons. One of the sweetest couples in this church, the Houstons. God needed somebody to work with the retarded people. God needed somebody to help this great army, my friends over here. These are some of the dearest folks in this church over here. All the Pathfinders, raise your hand, would you? Oh, that's good. Thank you. I like them. And they meet me out there, and they shake my hand. And one of them calls me Buddy. He says, "Hi, Buddy. If it's you, I'd break you. But no, hi, Buddy." And one's a cowboy fan. And one day said to me, "Happy Father's Day." And then forever Sunday after that, it was Happy Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. But I love them. But God needed somebody to work with them. And so God gave the Houstons a daughter. And her mind did not develop like the mind of your daughters did. And the Houstons were brokenhearted. And there came the breaking. And the realization, she'd never been normal. And the realization, never get married. Realization, she'd never give them a grandchild. Breaking. But oh, Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, for many, many years now, this precious couple has labored with those dear pathfinders. And how many folks have been blessed. Not only the pathfinders, but their families can come to church and have the thrill of knowing somebody else loves their child. I'm simply saying, God has to break you. Until God breaks you, see this shell on the outside. Now, let me say this. This behooves us not to get too hard. The harder we get, the harder it is to break us, and the more pain it's going to take to break us. There are several ways that God breaks us. Sometimes God breaks us by one sudden breaking. He just one time breaks us with a sudden breaking. And there are times that God just keeps on. There are some people this morning that all of a sudden God's Holy Spirit came and God allowed a thud and an awful breaking of everything. And everything fell apart. And from that came forth the inner blessing and the fragrance of the inner man. There are others, however, that have never known that big break-in, but it's just a little all the time. And I'm sure some of you wonder, when is it going to stop? Pray it never will stop, because when it stops, then your chance to be a blessing stops. And your chance for God to use you stops. Now I want to say this. There are some people, it's not doesn't take too much. A little like that. And it's broken. But there are some people. God has a big job to do. See, there's more meat inside this nut than there is inside this nut. There's more meat inside this nut than there is this nut, too. But there's more meat inside this nut. What's in here is more treasured than what's in here. And the more God wants to use you, the more He has to break you. And so we have here this one. Oh, I wonder how long. Oh, we came down through here, and I wonder how long, and I wonder how stained my hands are going to be. And a hitting, and the falling, and the picking it up, and bringing it back to me. And we've got to get through it, by the way. That's where some of you have been, just exactly like that. God hit you, and you wouldn't break. And God kept on and kept on. And finally, it broke. No, don't leave it there, son. Now, wait a minute. It took an awful heavy blow. But I guarantee you, there's a lot more meat in that last nut. And there'll be a lot more fragrance flowing from you. And a lot more blessing flowing. I better not wipe my nose. The same thing I wiped it on. I have a black nose. I know how Stan feels all the time. I'm simply saying, if you say, "Well, why does God have to break me so much?" Thank Him. God wants to use you more than He uses anybody else. One of my favorite things is sitting in a room studying and with pecans and picking them. Now, I don't necessarily, I like the pecans, but the challenge of getting them out whole. And man, I have worked, and I'll sit there like an artist will on a canvas. And I'll pick, and I'll pick. I love to get them out whole. And then I eat that whole one. But every once in a while, you know, you'll squeeze them in your hand like that. I could have squeezed this one in my hand, but I don't like to brag and show off. But you, and all of a sudden, it'll crack too much and got little pieces. Now, the little pieces are not as good as the whole pecans, but they're still good. And it may be today that God had to crack you so much. You're not a beautiful whole pecan. You're just a little piece. But God can still use you. And that's why God breaks you. God wants to use you. May I say this, and I'll close. I feel there's something left inside of me still that needs to get out. And I feel that there's something inside my spirit, even almost the time when I'll have my last birthday in my 50s, and I'll be quite frank with you, I think it's the toughest one I've ever had. I don't know why, and I don't want to admit it. I want to stand up here and make a good illustration and say, boy, thank God I'm 59. But I don't thank God I'm just nearly 59. But I think inside the old nut, I think there's still a few little pieces that can be a blessing. And I want it released. I sometimes say, Lord, I'm almost 60. Have you got to keep beating on me? And then I say, don't stop. I want it to keep flowing. Just keep on beating. Except a corn of wheat falleth in the ground and dieth, it abideth alone. Why did this happen to me? Why do I have to go through this? God's breaking you. There's something inside He wants to use for Himself. But there's a crust on the outside, and I'll talk more about that tonight. There's a crust on the outside. The old crust says, don't do it! Don't yield! Don't give your all! Don't do it! And God says, okay, old crust. The shell breaks, and from the shell comes forth rivers of water. Our Heavenly Father, teach us a lesson this morning.